The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth.
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink and decriminalize
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
All right, midday tokers and tokettes, welcome. It is Monday, November 26, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. We got a good one planned for you today, hanging out with my co-host here, our technical engineer, Brian the Red, over there on camera, too. How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing just fine, Russ. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I saw you had a whole bunch of skate decks.
Oh, yeah, just trying to slang some boards around town. You know how it is.
We'll take a look at those in hour two, do a little show and tell with Brian Nared, the Portland rep.
The Oregon rep.
Oregon rep.
You know, they're brand new to town. I don't know why people aren't jumping on them. They're going to be everywhere soon enough, but, you know.
We'll get some sold. Check that out, ganjaskateboards.com. On today's show, our guest at half past is from iBake TV, Thurlow Weed, No Excuses Radio is going to be on the show. He's going to tell us all about the Medicated Chef contest that's coming up that I'm going to be a judge for. I get to judge edibles, which will be all sorts of fun. Hopefully I can remember what I ate first after I ate what I ate last. It's amazing how those contests turn out. Today is our Roots Monday day. So for today on the show, we're going to preview the upcoming Viper Hour. Tonight, we're going to feature Lady Day herself. That's Billie Holiday. So we're going to give you a Billie Holiday tune at 20 after. This one's called Strange Fruit, and a very poignant anti-racism song, that one is. We've got all sorts of headlines in the news for you today, including a look at the most recent headlines coming out of New York, where they're going to be going for medical marijuana once again. In Colorado, there's an appeals case looking at off-duty marijuana use and how that qualifies legally. Small marijuana offenses do not lead to violent crimes, according to a new study. We take a look at an MMA fighter suspended for marijuana use and a proposal for marijuana legalization in another Western state, but you won't guess which one. We're also going to go behind the headlines, take a look at self-contradiction in reefer madness from our own drug czar on what will happen to the price of marijuana. And at the end of the show, time for a radical rant where we're going to take a look across the pond at the UK at their own self-contradictory reefer madness. There's a lot of it to debunk, and we're going to get right to it after we take a break. So stick around, tell your friends, join the show, log into our chat, have yourself a good time. Be right back after a couple messages.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
Fishbone pulled up there. We pulled up today in the van, and I walked out of the building, walked through the big building over there. I walked outside, and I'm walking over by the lake, and I just see everybody casually smoking weed like it's all right. Like it's supposed to be like that.
Because it is all right.
Like you ain't got to worry about no police coming and asking you what you're smoking or what are you doing here or let me see your driver's license. See, that's how they do it in Amsterdam. Everybody just out there chilling. Ain't nobody stressing. You go buy your weed at the shop. You go kick it, smoke your weed, walk the street, do whatever you want to, and you don't even get messed with.
Ganja computer. Ganja computer.
Warning. Hits taken on this show are larger than they appear. Do not try this at home. These people are professionals. Or at least they pay me to say that.
Now it's time for your 420 headline news for November 26, 2012. I'm Russ Belville with the news. In New York, we have medical marijuana proponents renewing their push for legalization. Medical marijuana could blunt the pain of New York's budget crunch. Proponents of pot as a medicine have renewed their push for legalization, arguing that licensing fees and taxes could generate hundreds of millions of dollars a year in new revenues for the cash-strapped state, according to reporting from the New York Daily News. The high-minded talk comes as the state is reeling from Hurricane Sandy bills and as the pot industry has hired one of the most powerful lobbying firms in Albany to define the issue as a budding financial opportunity. I understand the benefits, but there are also risks, and I think the risks outweigh the benefits at this point, said Governor Cuomo earlier this year, even as he warned that Hurricane Sandy could add $1 billion to the state's budget deficit this year alone. Cuomo said more research is needed to prove that legalizing medical marijuana will help people with problems such as cancer and multiple sclerosis, yet not increase drug abuse and criminal activity. In pressing for the adoption of a seed-to-sale model in which state-sanctioned firms would grow, distribute, and sell the herb to patients, the system in place in Colorado allows for such start-to-finish tracking of the product and tight government regulation. Reporting from the Denver Post, Colorado Appeals Court case debates the question of off-duty marijuana use. A case is pending before the Colorado Court of Appeals that could have a big impact on whether employers will be able to fire workers who smoke marijuana off-duty. The case concerns a former Dish Network telephone operator and a medical marijuana patient who was fired after testing positive for pot, even though there was no evidence he was impaired on the job. The operator, Brandon Coates, says it is against state law to fire someone for doing something off-duty that is legal. Previous cases have found that medical marijuana patients do not have a right to cannabis under Colorado law. Coates' case, though, asks a different question. Colorado's lawful off-duty activities statute prevents employers from firing workers because of the legal things those employees do outside the office, such as smoking cigarettes, for instance, and as long as those activities do not conflict with the employer's work. Coates' case is the first to challenge whether that protection extends to marijuana use that is legal under Colorado law, but illegal under federal law. News from Normal. Arresting and prosecuting low-level marijuana offenders in New York City has little or no impact on law enforcement efforts to reduce violent crime, according to a study released by the Human Rights Watch, an international advocacy organization that focuses on human rights violations worldwide. They reported, quote, "We found that 3.1% of marijuana arrestees were subsequently convicted of one violent felony offense during the 6.5 to 8.5 years that our research covers. 0.4% had two or more violent felony convictions. That is, 1,022 persons out of the nearly 30,000 we tracked had subsequent violent felony convictions. 90% had no subsequent felony convictions of any kind, end quote. Investigators concluded the rate of felony and violent felony conviction among this group of first-time marijuana arrestees appears to be lower than the rate of felony conviction for the national population, taking into account age, gender, and race. Neither our findings nor those of other researchers indicate the arrests are an efficient or fair means for identifying future dangerous felons. Sports news from ESPN.com. Thiago Silva has been suspended six months after testing positive for marijuana metabolites following his fight against Stanislav Nedkov earlier this month. Silva will also attend a drug rehab program. The UFC organization has a strict, consistent policy against the use of illegal drugs, the organization stated in a release. Silva has admitted to taking the banned substance and agreed to participate in an approved drug rehabilitation program and serve the six-month suspension. The Brazilian was suspended 1 year following a win over Brandon Vera in January 2011 for submitting a fake urine sample to the Nevada State Athletic Commission. The win was later changed to no contest. And finally, from the San Francisco Gate, buoyed by the success of voter initiatives in Washington and Colorado, Barb Trigo of East Helena, Montana, has filed a proposal to make the recreational use of pot a constitutional right in Montana. That's your 420 headline news for today, Monday, November 26, 2012. I'm Russ Belville. For more on these news stories, links back to original sources and news that did not make the reporting today, visit news.radicalruss.com. When we come back, we go behind the headlines and take a look at some U.S. reefer madness.
I'm Sub Cool from Team Green Avenger. At TGAGenetics.com, we are working on the leading edge of medical strains. Our strains are rigorously tested for THC, CBD, THCV, and other critical cannabinoids. Know your grow. Check out our genetic diversity at TGAGenetics.com, the home of Jelly Bean, Jack the Ripper, Vortex, and other award-winning cannabis strains.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show.
Yeah, we've made a call on the controversial marijuana ballot question, Amendment 64. Floyd, we can safely say this is going to pass.
It is legal in the Constitution to possess and grow up to 6 plants.
You cannot be arrested for being in possession of an ounce of marijuana.
Colorado and the state of Washington, they voted to legalize marijuana, not for medical use, but for recreational use.
This is the beginning of taking apart prohibition one state at a time. That's how they did it 80 years ago against alcohol. That's how we're going to do it now against marijuana.
Welcome back, everybody. It's 14 minutes after the hour here in post-legalization America. Washington and Colorado have legalized marijuana. And as of December 6th, it becomes legal just north of us in Washington state. Join us on midnight, December 6th. We will be in Seattle, Washington for live coverage of our first legal toke. And probably first legal dab as well. So check that out. We've been invited up there by volunteers from the I-502 campaign. We're going to have ourselves a little legal toke party, and you're invited to share in with us. So check that out on, it would be Wednesday night, Thursday morning at midnight. Check us out. Now, let's go behind the headlines, because I was turned on to this point by Reason writer Jacob Sullum in one of his columns, and it caused me to take a look at this. It's something I'd been working on previously as well. So, just a hat tip to him on the idea. But it's this weird idea that cheap, expensive, overtaxed legal pot won't bring in enough tax revenue. You know, this is we've been waiting, you know, it's been, as of tomorrow, it'll be 3 weeks since we legalized marijuana in Washington and Colorado. And everyone in the reform movement's just wondering for what's going to happen. You know, what's the federal government going to do about this legalization? Now, so far, the only official response we've gotten back is from a spokesperson who said, you know, something to the effect of the Controlled Substances Act will still be enforced. Okay, that doesn't really tell us anything. So we took a look at the ONDCP, you know, the Drug Czar's office. We took a look at their website and their page on marijuana legalization, because they actually adopted a position paper on this back in 2010, and took a look at that. And it's some interesting statements that they make in here. And it's kind of illuminating in the fact that their reefer madness is so far gone now, they can't even recognize in one document when it inherently contradicts itself. They're not even internally consistent at this point. But let me get to you some of the quotes here. This is from the Drug Czar's page on marijuana legalization, written 2 years before we legalized. The Obama administration has consistently reiterated its firm opposition to any form of drug legalization. Proposals such as legalization that would promote marijuana use are inconsistent with this public health and safety approach. A careful examination of the facts leads to the following conclusions about the dangers of marijuana use and the likely consequences of legalization. Marijuana use is harmful and should be discouraged. Yeah, now I suppose that if the government's job is to discourage harmful activities, this makes sense. But what other harmful activities will the government criminalize in order to discourage? I mean, more people die every year playing high school football than smoking pot. But not only is that legal, it's actively encouraged. I mean, tobacco smoking. Let's take cigarette smoking. It's a very, very harmful activity, and we discourage its use. And its use by teens has declined from 75% when I was going to school, you know, back in the 80s, to 42% now. Fewer kids now smoke cigarettes than pot, despite the fact that cigarettes are 4 times more likely to lead to dependence, and cigarettes are legally available in most states at age 18. So why wouldn't the government's treatment of tobacco work for cannabis? So that's the first thing that has always bothered me about this, is like we're already regulating the most addictive drug and we've gotten fewer kids to use it. But here's where we go round and round and chase our tail. Legalization would cause the price of marijuana to plummet, triggering increases in use of the drug. Okay, so legal marijuana would be really cheap. Okay, gotcha. Illegality helps keep prices higher. And because drug use is sensitive to price, especially among young people, higher prices help keep use rates relatively low. Okay, in order to dissuade kids from smoking pot, we have to maintain artificial price supports for the criminals who supply the market. Gotcha. Under the most commonly proposed legalization regime, one that imposes high taxes on marijuana, violent drug cartels would simply undercut legal prices to keep their market share. But if we legalized marijuana and made the taxes really high in order to dissuade the kids from smoking pot, the criminals who supply the market would gladly take a price cut to remain in business. Okay. With increased demand for marijuana resulting from legalization, these groups would likely grow stronger. Because the demand increased when pot prices plummeted, except for we put high taxes on the price and it brought it back up, because people prefer to buy legal marijuana, except they're buying it illegally from the criminals who undercut the tax. Okay. Tax revenue would be offset by higher social costs. Because more people will smoke pot because it's cheaper, except that it isn't cheaper because of the high taxes, except that it is cheaper because of the criminals that are undercutting the tax. But then the taxes that we don't collect won't begin to cover the cost of all those people who are smoking the pot that's sold illegally by the criminals, like now. Except for some of the people will pay taxes and buy legal weed, and we won't be spending millions of dollars annually to bust them. Yes, according to your drug czar, if we legalize marijuana, the pot smokers who didn't smoke pot before because it was illegal and expensive, will bypass the less expensive, taxed, inspected, potent weed of multiple varieties sold in a professional, secure, legal store, and instead buy it from a criminal with a limited supply who'll give them a few bucks off the store price. It makes no sense, my man. It makes no sense in any way whatsoever.
Indeed. Let's do something that does make sense.
All right.
Smoke a bowl.
Be right back.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Hi, this is Dan Michaels. If you're looking for professional voice talent for your commercial or podcast, I'm your man. Visit danmichaelsaudio.com for more information.
Sir, do you think there will or should come a time for us to discuss the possibility of legalization, regulation, and control of all drugs, thereby doing away with the violent criminal market as well as a major source of funding for international terrorism? Thank you so much for your time, Mr. President.
Well, I think this is an entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Name the time and place, Mr. President. Radical Russ has been prepping for this debate full-time since 2005. The Russ Belville Show. Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Roots Monday, featuring the blues, country, folk, and jazz music that birthed the modern sounds we enjoy today. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
All right, welcome back, everybody. And we have a show that we do every Wednesday night here on RadicalRust.com called The Viper Hour, and it features... Oh, I'm sorry?
Monday night.
What did I say?
Wednesday night.
Oh, man. Okay, every Monday night, tonight, The Viper Hour. Wednesday night's your show. So every Monday night, we do a show called The Viper Hour here on RadicalRust.com. And tonight, we're going to be featuring the music of Lady Day, also known as Billie Holiday. In 1928, Billie Holiday moved to New York City with her mother, who began work as a housemaid. But during the Depression, it left her mom without work. By 1932, she auditioned for a singing job and got hired, and then took off in the Harlem clubs, working with Benny Goodman as a big band vocalist and also working with Count Basie and Artie Shaw. But by the mid-1940s, Billie Holiday was arrested many times for illegal drug use. Much of this, of course, was use of marijuana. After one arrest, at her own request, she was placed in a federal rehabilitation for alcohol and drug abuse in West Virginia for a year and a day. And then 10 days after being released, she was singing at Carnegie Hall in New York City. She was married to Joe Guy, a jazz guitarist that she divorced. And then Louis McKay, who ended up surviving her death, were unable to save Billie Holiday from her drug abuse. By the 50s, her use of alcohol and marijuana had strained her voice and made it deep and grainy and occasionally cracking during her performances. But she had such style and was so beloved for her tone and her familiarity that she just had a special way with a song that her career has lasted for generations now. People are still enjoying the music of Lady Day, Billie Holiday. She made her last appearance in New York City on May 25th, 1959. She died just a few months later, July 17th, 1959, of congestion of the lungs complicated by heart failure. This is Lady Day, Billie Holiday.
Southern trees, they're strange fruit. Blood on the leaves and blood at the root. Black bodies swinging in the southern breeze. Strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees. Pastoral scene of the gallant South, the bulging eyes and the twisted mouth, scent of magnolia, sweet and fresh. Then the sudden smell of burning flesh. Here is a fruit for the crows to pluck, for the rain to gather, for the wind to suck, for the sun to rock, for the tree to drop. Here is a strange and bitter cry.
The Russ Belville Show reminds you to never smoke and drive impaired. Hang out for a while and share.
Day was hard and your work was long, and you need a break from all that's wrong. You better look at the clock, cause it's 4:19. Time to reach in that pocket for your bag of green and smoke that.
All right, folks, that song was a little bit of a downer, so let's come back with something fun.
Thank you very much. Now, here's an attractive couple, Gail Farrell from Durant, Oklahoma, Dick Dale from Algona, Iowa. Excuse me, let's listen to Gail and Dale and one of the newer songs.
One toke over the line, sweet Jesus, one toke over the line. Sitting downtown in a railway station, one toke over the line. Waiting for the train that goes home, sweet Mary, hoping that the train is on time. Sitting downtown in a railway station, one toke over the line. Who do you love? I hope it's me. I've been changing, as you can plainly see.
I felt the joy and I learned about the pain
that my mama said. If I should choose to make a part of me, would surely strike me dead. And now I'm one toke over the line, sweet Jesus, one toke over the line. Sitting downtown in a railway station, one toke over the line. Waiting for the train that goes home, sweet Mary, hoping that the train is on time. Sitting downtown in a railway station, one toke over the line. One toke over the line, sweet Jesus, one toke over the line. Sitting downtown in a railway station, one toke over the line.
Don't you know that we're
waiting for the train that goes home, sweet Mary, hoping that the train is on time. Sitting downtown in a railway station, one toke over the line.
Don't you know that we're a
sitting downtown in a railway station, one toke over the line.
And there you heard A Modern Spiritual by Gail and
the cannabis community includes a diverse set of activists and nonprofits working to end the prohibition of marijuana. we take the time to hear the stories of reform on the Russ Belleville Show's Cannabis Community Chat.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Half past, and we are joined by Thurlow Weed, who is, I don't know, he's in the further bus or something. I don't know. Where are you at, Thurlow?
This is actually my studio right here, guys. This right here is my set when you watch Wake and Bake with Thurlow Weed in the morning. If you're catching it right here on iBake TV, or if you're catching it on iBake TV on Ustream, the set you'll see in the back.
All right, just trying to get this on the screen for the people watching on the feed here. Had some video difficulties. So there we go. There you are. People can see what we're looking at there. There's Thurlow Weed, No Excuses Radio. And so you got the iBake TV going on. Tell people about iBake TV and the shows that you're showing.
Oh, okay. Well, right now we just launched iBake Radio, and that coincides with iBake TV. It's going to replay a lot of the shows that we play on iBake TV. And currently on iBake TV, we have the Wake and Bake with Thurlow Weed show. We have Mom Talk, Parenting, and Cannabis. My show is Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Mountain Standard Time. Mom Talk is on Mondays, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. And then we have the Medicated Chef show that's coming up after we find the winner this month. And then with Lindsay McNeice, it's a oil show. She's going to be teaching people and educating them about oil and how it works and such like that.
So, all right. All right. Check that out. And and who do we have sitting here as your guest on the show here?
Oh, this is my assistant, Little Tree Totes. She also is the host of Mom Talk, and she's been with Moms for Marijuana for about a year and a half.
Oh, excellent.
She runs Mom for Marijuana Denver and Nebraska as well.
Excellent. Nice to have you on the show, Little Tree. And she's toking, so how perfect is that?
She can't hear us.
She can't hear us, but thanks for being on. We do a lot of work with Moms for Marijuana. As a matter of fact, we have a regular segment on our, every other Tuesday that we call Listen to Your Mother, where we have guests from Moms for Marijuana. So that's really, really cool. So Thurlow, you may be like the only other person in America or possibly the world that knows what it's like putting on a daily show on marijuana. So what are some of the things you've had to go through trying to do this?
Wow. You're right. I do my show 5 days a week. I'm also producing a host of other shows, and I make radio, which is the only 24/7 internet radio station out there right now, our internet radio channel out there. Right now we launched that last week, and that is a full 24/7 station. It's going to have some talk shows that are going to be reviewed and stuff, but a lot of music and stuff like that. And the hardest thing that I've found is keeping on our toes fresh. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is ever-evolving, especially with N64 and I-502 passing. You know, things are really going to be stepping out there. And when it comes to you and I, and what we do is we are giving these people firsthand information. A lot of people turn to us for information. And some of the biggest things I've had is making sure I have the right information, being there and being in all the places, having the right contacts to get that information.
Yeah, totally understood. So Thurlow, one of the reasons I wanted to bring you on also is we want to talk about this Medicated Chef contest that you got going on, because, you know, there's a lot of cups out there, but not a lot of stuff for the edibles. So tell us what's going on with that.
Well, you know, Russ, being in this industry for as long as I've been in the industry, I've been in the industry for about 5 years now, I really wanted to go ahead and do something different. And again, I saw all the cups and such like that. In 2009, when I really got into producing shows online, I started the Medicated Chef Show, which was the first online cooking show. Skunk Magazine, a writer for Skunk Magazine, quoted as being the best educational program for cannabis in the last 4 years. And basically, it was a live interactive show, just like you and I are doing right now, but it was cooking cannabis. So these people got to watch, they got to go into chat and ask questions, they got to call in and win prizes, we had a studio audience where they could get tough and things like that. Well, the chef that I had at the time, very good, he was a grower and a caregiver, and he kind of moved on to continue doing that stuff. And put things on the burner really, went forward with radio and such like that. At that time I was producing FM radio shows here for cannabis in Denver and such with Green Rights Radio. Well, it was time to bring it back, and I said, you know, I've got all these people that have contacted me and that have said, hey, Thurlow, We want to go ahead and do a show. You know, we'll be your host. We'll be your host. And can you guys hear me? I saw you come up. They're talking about we'll be your host, and nobody wants to come through with it. So I said, you know what? Everybody says they want to be a host. I know there's some great people out there that's going to do it. So let's just have a contest. They have these other cooking contests, but let's do it in a manner that's kind of like that, but it's all for cannabis. It's going to be sweet. It's going to be savory. It's going to be fun. The venue that we have, you can smoke if you're over 21, and the event is 21. I mean, there's a lot of February 16th.
All right. So there's a lot. Are there preliminaries that people have to get registered for if they want to compete in this?
Okay, yes. If they want to go ahead and compete, there's a couple of different ways. You guys can go to noexcusesentertainment.com, and there's a couple of different ways. If you go through on their feed, you send in your video, and you fill out the form, and you guys are automatically in the voting. And the voting is going to start in January. It's going to run for about, I think, a whole week is what it's going to end up being able to run. And you're going to get all your friends on there, the videos that have the most votes. First, staff here is going to pick a couple of people, and then the videos that have the most votes, we're going to have five finalists that are going to compete in Denver on February 16th. The $25 guarantees you to be voted. We are working on setting up preliminary rounds. It looks like we'll find out about Arizona December 15th. We're working with Russ to do one in Portland. I may not be out there, but we're working on having one out there with Russ judging there as well, and some other judges. And we're working on setting one up in Washington. At the preliminaries, you guys can come and enter for free. There you have to bring your own stuff. You bring your own edibles. It's got to be enough for, you know, a couple of judges to be able to test. You go ahead and bring your stuff. It's nothing to enter. If you are one of the finalists, the final two, first one, you're online voting for sure. The second and third are wild cards. If the staff wants to let you guys go on for voting, they can in those preliminary rounds. So we're going to be releasing the dates. You guys keep up to date on noexcusesentertainment.com. We're going to keep you updated as well, Russ. When the preliminaries are going to go down, they're going to be very simple. You're going to be able to fill out something online, or there's going to be a form there that you're going to fill out. You're going to bring your edibles. You're not going to do any cooking there. At the finals, another thing that your $25 fee covers, if you're entering online, is at the finals, you don't have to pay for it. We've had people asking us, too. You know, do we have to pay for the butter? Do we have to pay for the oil? We can't. No. The $25 is going to cover your plane trip out here if you're a finalist. You will have to accommodate yourself for a place to stay. It will only be for a night or two. And you guys will be, we're going to cover all your butter, all the food, all of that. And it's going to be Iron Chef style, where the people that are cooking are actually only going to find out the day before, where we're going to do a drawing live on my show of who's going to be cooking what basket. We're going to reveal the baskets and what's going to be in there and who's going to be cooking what, because that whole show, the whole event's going to be also broadcast live on iBake TV as well as your station.
Yep, absolutely. We are going to be covering this medicated chef thing and working together on this. And, you know, one of the things I like about what we're doing with internet media is that there's plenty of, bandwidth to go around. I just like that there's more and more shows and more networks that are getting formed here. And I just think the more that we're talking about it, the more we're winning.
Exactly. You know, the thing is, Russ, is we've got the power behind us with the internet because we've reached the masses with this. We can't reach anything like this with FM radio or with anything like that. We're really able to meet the masses with this. And that's why it's so important for us, for people like me and you and these other people that are really getting into this, is to put whatever you can into it, do it wholeheartedly, because this is our outlet. But when we start really getting noticed here, it will allow us to get into cable, get into such like that, where we won't be. See, the thing is we can curse, we can show cannabis, we can talk about all that stuff on cable channels, just not on local channels. So really, cable TV, the only thing that's holding us away is the stigma from the federal government. That's the only thing that's holding us away from being on there. It's not no regulations that we can't show cannabis. That's why we've got cable TV. So once we break that barrier, there's going to be shows all over the internet, or just regular cable. They've talked about the Marijuana Food Network is one of the first things that I've really heard about. And you guys already see stuff about it on history with American wheat and stuff like that. So, you know, it's going there, but it's important what we're doing right now to get it to that level.
I agree. Absolutely. Now, Thurlow, your studio there, you're in Colorado, aren't you?
Yes, north of Denver, about 15 minutes on I-25, so just north of the Denver metro area. And, it's starting to get dark here. It was a cloudy day, but I'm telling you, you're right next to Washington, and I'm right here in the epicenter in Colorado, and it's absolutely fabulous. We were reporting here on election night, as you were, and it was great stuff. It was great news. I loved it, man. And it's just like a rush to even talk about it, to say, hey, IBAC University, real quick. We'll mention this. We launched IBAC University. You guys can go to Fox 31 News or in Denver, which is KDVR.com. And if you search marijuana, you'll be able to find the interview there. But we were talking about it, and we were talking about how we get to we're going to be teaching laws. One of the things we're going to be teaching in the classes is laws with medically legal states and recreationally legal states, and how good it feels to be able to say and recreational legal states, to be able to finally say that after years. And you know it as well. It's been years. It's such a breakthrough.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing, and I'm glad we got the laws changed. Before we let you go, Thurlow, let me give you a chance to give everyone the website addresses they need to hook up with you.
Yes, definitely, guys. You can search on Facebook and just search Thurlow Weed on Facebook. You'll find me. The Medicated Chef is on there as well. Go to noexcusesentertainment.com. Again, that's noexcusesentertainment.com. You'll have links to everything there. The radio station, IBAC Radio, IBAC TV, the Medicated Chef contest, all the rules, the forms to fill out. No excuses, entertainment.com. You'll find everything right there. And Russ, I want to thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate it, and I can't wait to have you on the show.
All right, man. Thank you so much. It's my pleasure to promote everything that's going on in the cannabis community. I think a Medicated Chef contest is a fantastic idea. Can't wait to judge it. Thanks so much, Thurlow Weed, for joining us, and Little Tree Tokes. Appreciate you guys being there and fighting the good fight in Denver. Hey, when we come back, time for some rant. Stick around.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Cast your eyes up to the skies. What is it to live and die?
Normal stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs.
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We're old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama.
It's time for legalization.
Legalization.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Well, we had a behind the headlines segment on the United States reefer madness and its own self-contradictory nature. So we had to up the ante a little bit for the radical rant and turn across the pond to our friends in Great Britain, where the reefer madness is fresh. Oh, my goodness. Because here in America, we're debating the legalization of marijuana, and those who argue for maintaining a policy of punishing and locking up adults who smoke pot often will predict the dire consequences if we should liberalize the laws concerning the herb. Oh, the children, they'll warn. They'll become heroin-addicted dropouts who will cause mayhem on the freeway if we allow adults to smoke pot. But over in England, the legalization of cannabis will lead to a rash of psychotic schizophrenics blazed on skunk. Oh no, not the skunk. According to a new series of articles penned by Patrick Coburn, whose son was diagnosed schizophrenic at age 20 and had been a heavy cannabis user prior to his diagnosis. So, of course, Patrick has a bit of an axe to grind. But this is what they're getting in Britain. This comes from the Independent newspaper in Britain. For cannabis, it is the tobacco moment. The long-suspected link between consuming cannabis and developing schizophrenia has been repeatedly confirmed by recent studies. Observers say that for cannabis, the present moment is similar to that half a century ago, when scientific proof of a connection between smoking tobacco and cancer had become so strong that no serious doctor or scientist could deny it. Okay. All right, so you're setting up here that it's so obvious now, it is just completely set in the scientific mind. There's no doubt whatsoever that smoking cannabis leads to schizophrenia. A doubt so proven wrong that it is akin to the people, the doctors who doubted that smoking cigarettes caused cancer 50 years ago, right? That's what we're setting up here, right? And it's pretty reefer madnessy. You can check this out again, independent.co.uk, and you got some crazy stuff in this, and I'll get to some of it here as we go on. But let me return. Sir Robin Murray, professor of psychiatric research at the Institute of Psychiatry in London, says that studies show that, quote, if the risk of schizophrenia for the general population is about 1%, the evidence is that if you take ordinary cannabis, it is 2%. If you smoke regularly, you might push it up to 4%. And if you smoke skunk every day, you push it up to 8%. For cannabis smokers diagnosed later with schizophrenia, the outcome is a lifetime battling with psychosis, including symptoms such as paranoid delusions, hostile voices, and unexplained waves of terror and guilt. Many sufferers end up isolated, jobless, impoverished, with their lives ruined. Okay, brave Sir Robin, that's a testable hypothesis. Non-pot smokers have a 1% incidence of schizophrenia. Smoking pot doubles that. Smoking pot often doubles that. And smoking skunk every day doubles that. All right, let's test that. Given that hardly anyone in Britain smoked pot before 1950, and then from 1960 to 1980, a whole bunch of people started smoking regular old pot, the one that, you know, 2% risk of schizophrenia. And then from 1980 to 2000, fewer people smoked pot, so the rates of schizophrenia must have gone down. And then from 2000, we had more people smoking stronger skunk pot, so, you know, 8% chance of schizophrenia. So we ought to see some variation in the rates of schizophrenia, right? We've gone from pre-1950, where everybody had a 1% chance of schizophrenia, to 2012, where there's a sizable population with double to quadruple the schizophrenia risk, and a small group with 8 times the risk. So we must have seen quite a bit of fluctuation in the rates of schizophrenia and psychosis in the United Kingdom over the past 60 years. I mean, there's got to be solid evidence of this for a major UK paper to point an article by someone that's saying it's pretty much decided here that it's similar to half a century ago when we figured out that smoking cigarettes caused lung cancer. It's repeatedly confirmed this is the tobacco moment. There's got to be a study. So I went and looked it up, because, you know, it's what I do. And I found this study, and it's called Incidences of schizophrenia and other psychoses in England, 1950 to 2009, a systematic review and meta-analyses. And here's what it had to say. We identified 15 primary citations from 9 studies which directly investigated possible changes in the incidence of psychotic disorders over time in England. The largest literature in England on rates over time is in relation to schizophrenia. There was little direct evidence to support genuine changes in the incidence of psychotic disorders over time, which might have otherwise indicated a change in the frequency of exposure to or impact of candidate social and drug-related risk factors for psychosis. One study suggested an increase in the incidence of substance-induced psychoses, but this change did not affect the overall incidence of first-episode psychosis reported in that study over time. A change in the incidence of psychotic disorders over time would implicate a change in the underlying prevalence of one or more exposures, given relatively fixed genetics over the short term, that is, over the 60 years covered by this review. Given the strong genetic component likely to underpin psychosis risk, it is perhaps unsurprising that rates in England appear unlikely to have changed markedly since at least 1950, having acknowledged compositional changes to the underlying population. However, we also note a more complex explanation may explain the apparent stability of rates over time. Improved prenatal and obstetric. I don't know why I can never say that word. I even practiced it before the show. Improved prenatal and obstetric care may have reduced psychosis incidence in offspring on the one hand, coupled with increases in cannabis use or reductions in the levels of social cohesion, may have acted in a compensatory way to increase incidence on the other hand, overall leaving the impression of stable rates. Okay, so bottom line, folks, 1950, 2009, no real change in schizophrenia or psychosis. No real change, no real bump. It didn't go up when pot smoking went up. It didn't go down when pot smoking went down. It didn't go up as the pot got more potent. It wasn't less when the pot was less potent. It stayed the same. So that's the UK independence incontrovertible stand here. Now, I wanted to go a little deeper into this because it's fascinating that in their own articles, when these guys are writing, this is the Henry Coburn article. I'm sorry, the Patrick Coburn article here. Patrick Coburn wrote this one. Now, Henry Coburn was his son who developed schizophrenia, and I'll read some from that too, maybe an hour or two. But his father, Patrick Coburn, is a foreign correspondent for The Independent, and he's been investigating this because his son's got this severe schizophrenia and smoked a lot of pot, and so here he is looking to see if smoking pot causes schizophrenia. And so let me bring you to some of the things that are quite funny in this. One part toward the very beginning of the article says, "This includes those taking skunk, which today contains at least 3 times more THC, the major psychoactive ingredient in the cannabis plant, than it did in the 1960s. A survey of cannabis confiscated by the police in 2008 showed that ordinary cannabis had about 4 to 5% THC and skunk about 16%. Okay, so let's establish our facts here. We've got cannabis in the 1960s was of low potency. This is what they're positing here. Cannabis in the 1960s was of low potency. Cannabis now is of high potency. All right? With that established, when you go to the very bottom of the article, third to the last paragraph, the opening statement is, "Cannabis consumption has been falling in Britain as well as the rest of Northern Europe since 2004. Okay, so the more potent cannabis is less addictive? What's going on there? Fewer kids are smoking pot since 2004. It's been going down in England. But we've got all this amazing super potent skunk that's on the streets now. They even go as far as to say less potent varieties are becoming more difficult to buy on the street, while ever more concentrated ones are available on the internet. So even with more access to more concentrated, more potent varieties, fewer kids are smoking pot in England. There's another interesting line in here, too, that I wanted to get to here. Pro and anti-cannabis campaigners have furiously disputed the dangers of taking cannabis. Proponents of decriminalization claim it is no more risky to health than junk food. But doctors and nurses treating the mentally ill in Britain have long noticed that a very high proportion of their patients are serious users of the drug, often starting to take it at a young age. Dr. Humphrey Needham Bennett, a great British name, medical director and consultant psychiatrist at Signet Hospital, Gordon Green in London, says that among his patients, quote, cannabis use is so common that I assume that people use or have used it. It's quite surprising when people say, no, I don't use drugs, end quote. And that was fascinating to me. That was really interesting to me that he brought that up, because I was just reading this interview the other day in a magazine with a doctor here in the United States who worked in a ER, a trauma ward there. And he works out of North Dakota, out around where Sturgis is, right? The North Dakota, you know, the famous bike rally that they have out there in North Dakota, all the Hells Angels and all the bikers and all the recreational motorcycle enthusiasts get out there, go to Sturgis, and they ride on there. Well, anyway, he works in this ER out there in North Dakota, and they're interviewing him, and he was talking about this prevalence of all these guys coming in riding that had ridden motorcycles that had gotten accidents on the road and harmed themselves, got road rash and broken legs and all the terrible things that happened from, you know, riding their motorcycles. And he said, you know, without a doubt, when I talked to almost every one of them, they rode bicycles when they were a kid. Yeah, they all rode bicycles. Some of them even rode tricycles as a kid. In fact, when I ask these guys who come in with road rash and leather jackets if they've ridden a bike in their lifetime, it's surprising when they tell me they never rode a bicycle in their lifetime. It would seem to me that when we let our kids ride tricycles and bicycles, especially now, I mean, if you remember the bikes when we were a kid, only had one speed. The bikes today, these bikes today have like 10 speeds on them. The speeds these kids can go on these bikes compared to what we could do back in the 1960s and 70s is unbelievable. It's like 3 to 4 times the speed that you can achieve when you're riding a bicycle these days. So we're allowing these kids to ride bikes. And when they ride bikes, well, you can see what happens. The ER doctor right there in North Dakota will tell you, riding bikes, you know, leads to eventually, wrecks on the road and freeways and death. All right, if you can't tell the sarcasm inherent in that, the point is this: correlation does not equal causation. If you're talking to a guy who works as an ER doctor, works as a mental health specialist in a psychiatric ward, and he's finding that a lot of his patients have used drugs, all that tells us is that a lot of the people that ended up in psychiatric wards are people that had used drugs. It does not tell us that people that had used drugs are bound to end up in the psychiatric ward. Now, when I read this, the Henry Coburn story, he's the son who had the schizophrenia, and you can find his story as well. And it talks about him starting to smoke marijuana when he was age 13 or 14. He was quite shy, but smoking weed was kind of like an icebreaker. For 7 years, he met people through smoking weed. But he also talks about he had psychosis. He could hear the fire hydrant talking to him. He could hear birds and crows talking to him from a young age, you know, going back to 2002. So the thing is here is it's a little bit of a chicken and the egg argument. Of course, nobody is going to suggest that children as young as 13 start smoking weed, and no one is going to suggest that people who have an underlying mental health issue shouldn't stay away from using mind-altering substances like marijuana. But that is not any reason to continue to lock up adults who smoke pot. No matter what the harm may be, we find that kids who get a hold of alcohol at a young age are highly likely to develop into alcoholics. But we don't start locking up people who are drinking a beer at the local tavern to try to help the kids. It's so maddening to see how people's minds are completely lost. They can deal with it with alcohol and tobacco, but when it comes to marijuana, for some people, increasingly fewer people, they cannot make the leap. But that's changing, and you're a part of it. Thanks for helping us. That's all the time we got today. For Brian the Red, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned for Hour 2. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it.